Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you this morning. I hope that today is just a little warmer than the past 2 days and that you have a beautiful Sunday. This morning, we're moving back into the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at a few lines from chapter 1 from the book of James. But before we do that, I just need to share how amazing it was for us as a community at St. Mark's last Sunday to worship in the church building again. As many of you will know, our hall roof fell in, and then we were told that we needed to worship outside until we had checked our church roof. And I found myself quite emotional on Sunday as we worshipped again inside God's home, because it reminded me that we must take nothing for granted. And I think sometimes when we go to church, we forget. And it just becomes part of our routine, and we don't recognize how amazing it is to have a building to worship in. After 8 weeks of setting up chairs and freezing in the garden, we appreciated the church as the house of God. Among the many things we as a community learned during this period, a few stand out, and I just want to mention them now. We learned that God is faithful, and we now have a whole lot of chairs that we can use for outside services and for gatherings that we do many of in terms of outreach into the community. I really am grateful to God that in the last 8 weeks we've had no rain, and there was never a Sunday when we couldn't meet in the garden because of the weather. We also found that instead of people just coming in and going to their regular pews, parishioners started talking to people that they hadn't ever talked to before, and there was a camaraderie of all when we gathered together outside. I've been amazed at the love and generosity and faithfulness of all God's people. And so in the midst of adversity, I can say God is always present, and we can thrive if we remain faithful, and we always need to look for the blessings because they are there. Moving into Mark now, a few weeks ago we looked at Jesus as the bread of life, and it is called the Eucharistic Discourse because obviously that's part of the reason why we have the bread and the wine every Sunday when we have the Eucharist, or the Mass as some people would call it. We also have heard Jesus' proclamation that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood will have eternal life. As Jesus made this proclamation, people reacted in a variety of ways, as people do. Some even said that this teaching was too hard and they moved away. The Pharisees, of course, had a good moan about his teaching. They were critical of it. And I'm not sure that if you and I had been there 2,000 years ago, we would have understood this teaching. I really don't feel we can blame the people for questioning the teaching and asking, "What is this man talking about? How can he give us his flesh to eat?" I know I would probably have been one of them. When we move into this Gospel of Mark, as you will see, we move away from Jesus talking about who he is and how is the bread of life, to teaching on purity and impurity. But it kind of goes hand in hand with this bread of life teaching because it's still about eating. So reading from Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" And he replies, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" And Jesus continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother will be put to death. But you say, 'If anyone declares that what they have that might have been used to help their father and mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down.' And you do many things like that," says Jesus, because people were using this, as you can see, as a convenient excuse, declaring that things are God's and then shirking their responsibilities towards their parents. Again, Jesus calls the crowd and says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. And after he left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this. And he said to them, and I mean, I have to laugh when I hear this, because in these days we would never say that to someone. "Are you so dull?" he asked them. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body." In this way, Jesus was declaring that all food is clean. And he went on and said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of the person's heart, that evil thoughts come." So here again in this reading, we have the Pharisees watching Jesus and his disciples very closely, looking for something to criticize. As I've said before, if we are looking for a fault in a person, we're going to find it. None of us are perfect. So how much better it is when we look for something godly in a person, when we look for good, because we will usually find that too. And here we have Jesus' response, pointing out to me the importance of looking within and being clean from within, not focusing so much on human laws and traditions. I'm going to unpack this in a moment, but first on the Mighty Heart 1027, one of my absolute favorite choruses, "O let the Son of God enfold you." And of course, when we let Jesus' love enfold us, we move more and more in love and we see people through the eyes of God and life is so much better. O let the Son of God enfold you on the Mighty Heart 1027.
Sunrise with Shona.
On Heart 1027.
O let the Son of God enfold you on the Mighty Heart 1027. You're listening to Reverend Shona at St. Mark's Anglican Church. And if you've just joined me, it's great to be with you. We're looking in Mark and we're looking at Jesus' teaching on how we need to be pure from within. It's not the things that we eat. It's not whether we eat with washed hands or not. It's about what's within our heart that comes out of us that makes us impure. So we've just heard the Pharisees complaining. Jesus' disciples are eating without ritually washing their hands. And as I've said before, Jesus and his disciples have been watched very carefully as the Pharisees are looking for ways to discredit Jesus and remove some of his power. And the reason for this is that Jesus is a threat to them. I was once told that we wouldn't be able to recognize wrong in other people unless we had some of it in us. And so Jesus says in Matthew 7:3-5, "How can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take that speck out your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." And I just think it's important at this moment to remind us, as we move into the theme of purity and impurity, that we need to be careful that we're not so critical of others and forget that we too need healing. The Jewish people had over 600 laws to keep, and one of those laws was about ceremonial washing of hands, and it was connected with piety. And we must remember that Jesus was critical of the temple and the Pharisees because he felt they were applying these laws in a way that God's people were suffering. As I said, the Pharisees were feeling threatened. They looked for ways to catch Jesus and his followers. Ceremonial washing of hands was a way of maintaining piety, and seeing Jesus' disciples not keeping this commandment would have shocked not just the Pharisees, but all the people watching. It was a basic command. Now, has anyone come to church and shocked you lately? I had a very scary experience of being judged once when I was kneeling at the altar rail and two tiny dogs popped their heads out the lady's bag next to me, and I was a child. I got a massive fright, and of course I love dogs, so that was great. But then I started laughing, and I'm sure you've experienced this. The more you try to stop yourself, the more you laugh. I got into huge trouble for that, and I was severely reprimanded because I was showing disrespect at the altar. And it was just one of those occasions where I think people didn't understand. So perhaps the priests at that time didn't understand that these dogs had popped their heads up and given me a fright, and that laughter was actually in response to that. But when we look at the situation in which Jesus finds himself, the people would have expected Jesus and his followers to obey this command at least, not just the Pharisees. Just as I was expected to be somber at the altar, washing was a way of getting closer to God. While we could criticize the people and the Pharisees' reaction because it is not a law we keep today, it forces us to ask the question, when we look at our faith, where should our focus be? Where is our focus? Jesus challenges them as he challenged you and I. He was really asking, where is their focus? On the human laws or on God? He challenges them by insisting that they have in fact drifted away from God and are much more interested in human law and tradition. He points out that they've drifted away from God because God does not care for their ablutions or their lip service to God, but about the pureness of their hearts. Now, I'm part of a traditional church with a long history, and we have many different rules and traditions. And I don't think it's wrong. Traditions are important because they draw us closer to God. And if we understand the tradition, perhaps it draws us even closer to God as we enact them. And tradition is part and parcel of being human. We even have traditions in our own homes. But we should never be so focused on tradition that we forget the most of these are human-made rules. Traditions help us, and we mustn't forget the most important thing of all is our relationship with God, and love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Relationships with God and one another are the most important things. Our church, our thoughts, our actions are only as good as our relationship with God and others. If our traditions become more important than God and God's love and our relationship with God and with other people, I feel God may say we've become like the Pharisees. As I've said already, Mark uses this word to really emphasize how a lot, if not all, our traditions are of human origin, and God is much, much more interested in our hearts. For me as a community at St. Mark's, losing our church building for 2 months, I think has been a good thing for us. We no longer had the physical building to worship in. We didn't have all the trappings. We even changed the candles after I shocked everyone on the first Sunday we were outside when my hair caught a light from one of the candles. I wasn't injured, the wind blew it, but I just had a slight burn on the scalp, but it was spectacular. There were lots of comments about tongues of fire and being on fire for God. One person who came for the first time that Sunday said to me, "And what trick are you going to do next week?" But the point I'm making is that after we realized that those candles weren't safe outside, we had to change them, so we didn't even have our normal candles. Because the space we were worshipping in was so small, we had to change the flowers, we couldn't have servers, there was no room for the parish ministers. So much changed, and I think it taught us. Worship is about God. We need to focus on God. That's where our hearts need to be. But what does Jesus mean when he said God looks within our hearts and sees what's in our hearts? What is God looking at? As Jesus said, it's not about what we put on our bodies, or what we eat, or what we drink, but rather what comes out of us that is important. Where are our hearts? That's important, because where our hearts are, that's what will come out. So what should we be seeking? Now, obviously, we need to seek to love God with our body, our mind, and our soul, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But how do we love God? So I want to go a little deep into this morning and look at the righteousness of God, because we should also be seeking God and God's righteousness. But first on the Mighty Heart 1027, Jesus, name above all names.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Jesus, name above all names on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is good to be with you. That is one of my absolute favorite choruses, and one I often sing to myself, especially when I find myself in challenging situations. I find it calms me down and allows me to move in God's peace and God's power. If you've just joined us, welcome. We're looking at Jesus' teaching in Mark's Gospel, where the Pharisees have criticized his disciples for eating without observing the traditional ritual washing, and Jesus has said that they should be more interested in what's in their own hearts, because that is what interests God, and that is what's going to come out and make them pure or impure. Let's look at God's righteousness now, because our hearts should always be seeking God's righteousness, seeking to be in line with God and what God expects of us. There's a Greek word for righteousness, and I'm not sure I should even attempt to pronounce it in case there are any Greek listeners here, but the word is dikasuna, and it means to live in right relationship with God, to live in right relationship with others. And I want to stress this because I think we're careless of the health of our earth and other creatures on earth. It is also to live in right relationship with all creation. With so much destruction of our forests, with the loss of biodiversity, pollution of the rivers and the air and so on, we are destroying God's creation of this beautiful planet that we call home. And here we are told that it is our responsibility, if we seek God's righteousness as followers of God, to be careful and to be mindful of the planet on which we live and all the creatures. That's not just about God and other humans, obviously, then, but the whole of creation. Let's move now from this into the book of James, because it also reminds us what it means to live in righteousness with God. So reading from James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I spoke last time about the anger I've encountered on the roads and how people are so quick to get angry. They won't let anyone in. They're rude. They show rude signs. They shout. The lack of patience and respect. I also see it in families and in the workplace. How quickly hurtful words are spoken. How quick we are to take offense. How quick we are to become angry and filled with resentment. James also said we need to be quick to listen. With all the busyness in our lives, I find this is a skill we're losing. We are often quick to respond before we've actually listened. And one way, when we're in an important conversation or a deep conversation, to ensure you are listening is to repeat back to the person what you've heard, to mirror it back. And I often say, I'm just checking, is this what I'm hearing you say? And I can't tell you how many times the person says to me, no, what I actually mean is. Sometimes it's because I haven't listened carefully. Sometimes it's because as you mirror it back, the person hears it and says, no, that's not quite it. Let's change it. And it's a wonderful skill that we all need to develop. In verse 26, James goes on and says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Very strong words here again, linking to Jesus' words in Mark about Corban, that we mustn't twist the laws to shirk our own duties. In conclusion this morning, we need to focus more and more on what we put out and not what we put into our bodies. How is our heart and soul reflected in what we do and say, and even what we think? I believe that we all need to ask God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to transform our hearts more and more, to rid our hearts of any anger, any resentment and grudges, and all things that are not of God, and to fill our heart with everything that is of God: peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, so we may all experience that peace of God that passes all understanding, and not just us, but those around us will experience it. Let us never forget that we are children of God. We've been given grace freely from God with no strings attached, to live and work and to have our being in God, and that when we surrender into God, God's love will encapsulate every fiber of our being, and that will radiate to those around us. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful day and a fantastic week. May God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. To wrap up this morning, tell out my soul, an amazing grace. I felt that as I've just spoken about the free gift of God, we have to hear amazing grace. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.